help us. We always need your help, Lord. Help us to hear. And that this would be in the right spirit. We'd hear it in the right spirit. And you would lead us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, how many bakers do we have in here? People like to bake? Some bakers? And so, y'all might be able to teach me something about leaven. Like, don't you sell, like, pizza dough or something? Like, you let it rise first, or you give it to them in unrisen? Risen, see? So she knows a lot about that stuff. I know the basic concept. This is Matthew 13:33. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. She hid it in there. Once you put it in there, you can't see it. You don't know the difference between the unleavened one and the leavened one until the mystery starts happening. Pastor Scheller talked about a guy in Baltimore at convention. They were going to make pizzas, and they made all this pizza dough, and they put it in the fridge. They came back hours later, and it was oozing out of the refrigerator door. So it's a mystery. It's hidden. You hide it, and then it does something. You don't know what it is. And so oftentimes we think of leaven as bad, but it's just an analogy. Like, I love yeast rolls and sourdough pizza dough. I mean, the leaven's just an analogy. And so I found some pictures. There's some little dough, and it made bigger dough. Little dough made bigger dough. And that's my expertise on it. Little dough makes bigger dough. And it makes the bread real fluffy. And so there's a subtle growth that happens in God's kingdom too, right? A mystery. And it's happening in this church and churches around the world. Churches in Wyoming or wherever you guys went to church, you know, it's happening and it's a mystery. And sometimes you'll meet other people who have the leaven working in them, and you'll know them. There'll be this connection like you've known them your whole life and you've never met them. You just know them. And it's like we're brothers. But there's a battle going on. Satan is real. The flesh is real. The world is real. And there's another analogy that involves leaven, right? And so this, you can hide something and it will mysteriously grow you don't have to watch it. It'll grow, and not only will it grow, it's not like a seed that you don't watch it and it grows. It spreads to every other part. The seed stays by itself, right? But this spreads to the seed, the tares, the roots might intertangle, so you don't want to pull them and damage the wheat. But the yeast spreads to all of it, not just the ones right around it. It's like the whole lump. And so this battle going on, the leaven can represent sin. And this is 2 Thessalonians 2:7, and it just hit me. It's not, the context is I think it's the Antichrist. It says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And it can be like illegality, a violation of law, or wickedness. Is that what that word can mean? But it's a mystery. It's like this leaven. Lawlessness has a mystery to it. And like Romans 7, Paul was like, I do the things I don't want to do, you know. Like, I don't want to do them, but I still do them. Like, that's a mystery. How do great men of God fall? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. And so the Passover was eaten with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, and it represents sinless Christ suffering for our sin. Sinless Christ. And thinking too, like, I don't know if this is a good analogy, but the subtleness of Satan, the serpent was more subtle than anything. Very subtle. And leaven's kind of subtle, right? If you're not the person who put it in there, you wouldn't know it was in there. And Satan was more subtle, and he planted this thought, And then the thought grew, right? And then now we have the whole curse. I mean, it's like spread to the whole lump, right? The whole world. And so we don't take it lightly. So this is leaven is sin. Mark 8:13-22. And he left them and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And in the bottom end of the story, as they said, he said to them, how is it you don't understand in Mark? But in Matthew, he opens it up a little bit more. How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning the bread? So it's okay to eat yeast rolls, okay? He's not speaking to us concerning the bread. Pizza dough is good. But to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So doctrine can be very important, right? Like doctrine, certain doctrine can be very important. And these two doctrines, or three actually, the Herodians, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, we need to have our little antennas up and be like, is that doctrine? Is that this false doctrine that Jesus told it to beware of? Beware of it. So Phariseeism, and I think we all know what these are. Even if we don't know the technical terms or anything, we know what they are. Phariseeism is like legalism or ritualism, traditionalism, your culture over Christ. It's you stray from the spirit in an attempt to keep the letter. An uptight, legalistic church. Hypocrites, actually. Luke 12:1-3 says, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So he explains a little bit more. It's hypocrisy. Like, they have all these rules, but they can't keep them themselves. You know? And if you can't keep the law, like everybody know that he who says he's without sin is a liar. You know, we can't keep the law, and we can't feign to. We can just follow Christ, the keeper of the law, and the sinless one who died for us. So Phariseeism, when Jesus came, they didn't recognize him as the Messiah, right? Well, I mean, Nicodemus did, but this doctrine of the Phariseeism, those Pharisees didn't. Sadduceeism, they didn't believe in the resurrection. So they were rationalistic, liberal type people. If they were here today, they would rationalize macroevolution and say that God's not the creator. And they were in one way they're open minded, but another way they're closed minded. They'd say the Bible's a legend with good morals in it, you know. And so we need to recognize that too. Like somebody who comes and says like this isn't the authority. Like it's just, you know, the translations are different. It's just good morals. You know, Noah's Ark. I mean, what a crazy story. How can you believe that? Like, this would be that. Sadduceeism. And they didn't believe in the resurrection. Herodianism is a worldly king. Materialism and worldliness. And maybe a social club. But they're not concerned with God. Maybe they're concerned with good, but not concerned with God. And that's fine, apart from the church, to have a social club or to have culture above whatever you want, whatever. That's fine over there. But in the church, that's not the place. We don't put materialism above God. And we don't have good apart from God. It's all God. And so this is one of the things that this leaven, which Jesus said it's the doctrine, it's a teaching. One of them is allowing open sin to go uncorrected, and on one hand, and putting a legalistic weight on people that they can't follow on the other hand. And so it's two sides of the same coin, really. And that's not grace. Titus 2:11, grace teaches us to deny ungodliness. Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And God's very gentle with us, and he draws us. But when we see who God is, we're going to want to follow him. And yeah, we're going to fall. But when we fall, we're not going to feel good about it or justify it. We can rationalize it and all. But like the church doesn't condone rationalizing it. You know, it's like that's the leaven. And so there's two things that God, Jesus, and Paul, from a biblical perspective, were not gentle about. They weren't gentle about these things. And they're false teaching. If you notice, false teaching about the church, about the way, like the Pharisees came and taught false doctrine, and Jesus was not gentle with them. He braided a whip and drove them out of the temple. You know, he told them they were a brood of vipers. He wasn't gentle. And one of them is lust and lasciviousness in the open is okay. It's fine because we're free, right? And so this supposed freedom is really about self. It's not about Christ. It's not about Christ. It's not loving God, and it's not loving others. And the other one is legalism. And the Judaizers, Paul said, let them be accursed. You know, that wasn't very gentle. That wasn't very nice to say that. But they preached a gospel that doesn't promote Christ as the object. It promoted self, right? So any gospel that doesn't promote Christ is not the gospel. It's not of God unless it promotes Christ. And so they're both about self. They both glorify self and not Christ. And I was supposed to change that. There we go. If we don't maintain our own personal relationship with Christ, and I'm not talking about going to Bible college or church three times a week or whatever, and that could be part of it. But even with that, you need a personal time with Christ. You need to hear from God yourself, a personal relationship with Christ with that, and use that. And if we don't do that, we can be duped by false teachings. We can rationalize or be led astray by the wrong spirit. And so Satan is subtle, and we need to beware. Beware. Have your antennas up for these things. And if you get sleepy, it's so easy to rationalize and fall one way or another. So this is 1 Corinthians 5:6-8. You can go back on your own time and read the whole section. But you're glorifying, and this was a guy was having sex with his mother-in-law, and it was open in the church. The whole church knew about it, and he was glorifying in it, saying, it's okay, I'm free. I'm free. Like, that's not freedom. That's not God's freedom. Your glorifying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? So that is from 1 Corinthians 5:6. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So this is what this guy was doing, and everybody in the church was allowing him to do, was false freedom based on a lie. And then we have Galatians 5:1-10, which is a zeal, which is also a false freedom based on a lie. It's a misplaced zeal, the wrong zeal. Zeal is good if it's for God. But don't misplace your zeal. How easy is it? Like, his mercies are new every morning, and we walk with him moment by moment. Like, faith now is. It just is. We have to trust him right now. How easy is it for 2 minutes later to be wandering? We're sheep, you know. We'll be wandering over here, you know, with our mind or with our thoughts or with our doctrine. We'll be wandering over here. Christ is the center. The Bible is our frame of reference, and Christ is our point of reference. And we got to remember that. And so Galatians 5, 1 to 10, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And then verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. So it's not coming from God. Where do you think it's come from? Verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. So putting a tradition, a culture, or works above Christ is sin. It's the leaven of the Pharisees, and who did not accept Christ when they saw him. They heard him in person, and they didn't accept him. This is Romans 10, 2-3. So this is the zeal that can be misplaced. And it's talking about Israel and their legalism. For I bear with them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. We have to continually remember, anytime we're dealing with these things, we're not seeking to establish our own righteousness. Like the one thing that, this is 1 Corinthians 5, I think that's the only area is an abhorrent sexual sin that is in the open that would call for removing the leaven from the lump. But that's the only area. And I think even in that, you have to do it in the right spirit. And this right here, it's like, they're looking for their own righteousness. We got to be careful that we're not trying to establish our own righteousness, because we're not righteous. Only in Christ. Only God is righteous. And we're living in his righteousness. We're receiving his imputed righteousness. We're pure and perfect in that sense. And we walk in that. And that's actually the freedom. And so this false freedom, here's another, the same one, repeated in Revelation. I believe this is the same one as in 1 Corinthians 5. To the church of Pergamos write, you hold fast my name, did not deny my faith. A few things against you, because you have there those that hold the doctrine of Balaam. So false teachings creep in. The doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This is teaching. This is doctrine. Balaam taught these people how to get to the Israelites. There was a teaching. And they went in and told the Israelites, it's okay. And the Israelites were buying it. And then you come to that, and this is Numbers 25, 6-15. And so Balaam couldn't curse Israel on King Balak of the Midianites' command, because God wouldn't let him. So he told them how to get to Israel. He told them, send your women in there. I can't curse them, but this is how you can get to them, right? Send your women in there. And they'll worship false idols when you do that. So this is a doctrine. It's a teaching. And it leads to, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. So he brought some leaven and put it in there. He hid it. He hid the leaven in there. And so then a plague came, and the Israelites were dying. And this is Numbers 25, 6-15. And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle. They're weeping because of the plague and because of what's going on. And they came in front of them. So this is 1 Corinthians 5. This is this guy, they're glorifying in it in front of them. Now Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it. He rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel, and those who died in the plague were 24,000. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, I always said Phinehas, but I guess it's Phinehas. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel because he was zealous with my zeal among them. I like that. So, like, you can have the wrong zeal. You can be a Pharisee and you can attack people, right? Or you can have the right zeal. And he had the zeal among them, so that it did not consume the children of Israel and my zeal. Therefore say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace. Because he had God's zeal among them, they got peace. The plague stopped, and it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. So Phinehas probably had some yeast growing in him. He'd probably been sitting under Aaron and Moses. They'd probably been taught, like, what's the yeast of the kingdom of God? Being taught the word of God, right? Being taught the grace of God. Being taught God's thoughts and God's ways to think with God. Being led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also always glorifies Christ. So if you hear a message that the end result isn't glorifying Christ, it's probably not from God. And so I was thinking of this. What's the difference between Phinehas, what he did, and the woman caught in adultery? You know, the religious leaders, they catch her, they bring her, and they're like, what does the law say? The law says stone her, right? And so they wanted her stoned. And they were doing it from a self-righteous perspective, right? From a self-righteous perspective. That's the wrong kind. That's the misplaced zeal. We don't know what Jesus wrote in the sand with his finger. Everybody thinks so. It's probably he started with the oldest sin, unknown sins. Sins that he had forgotten about maybe. He started writing. They started leaving from the oldest to the youngest. Or maybe he started writing the Ten Commandments down. Have you done this? Have you done this? And the oldest had done more of them, right? They lived longer, had a longer time to commit them. And hopefully in our age, we get more humble because we realize we're sinners too, right? So they left. And so what's the difference between what Phinehas did and what these guys did? It was the spirit behind it. They didn't have the zeal of God. They had the zeal of self-righteousness, right? They didn't have the zeal of God. It wasn't like they were protecting the Israelites from a plague or something. It was self-righteousness. So it's like there's a difference. And like when they went to Samaria and the Samaritans rejected Jesus, I think it was James and John said, should we call fire down from heaven like Elijah? And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Like we have to be careful like of what spirit we're of. We have to have a zeal for God. And not for ourselves and not for self-righteousness. Because we're sinners and God loves sinners, right? And so I think one of the big problem differences also is 1 Corinthians 5 and Phinehas' problem dealt with open sin. And so what would he have done? One, he would have been aware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Phinehas would have been aware of the leaven of the Pharisees. So Phinehas, if he was with the woman caught in adultery, he would have seen those guys and been like, they're not about God. They're about self-righteousness. He would have done exactly what Jesus did, you know, because he had a zeal for God. He would have stood up for the woman against the people with the misplaced zeal. So, you know, the leaven is just an analogy, right? And it is a symbol from the Passover on of sin, but God also uses it as a symbol for the kingdom of heaven. So it's just an analogy. And I love that analogy when we apply it. You heard the, what was it? What do you call that? The two dogs fighting. The guy lived up in Canada somewhere. He had a black dog and a white dog. And he would bet on them. So he'd go to one village. He'd be like, I bet you the black dog's going to win. We'll fight him. The black dog will win. They'd be like, okay. They bet. The black dog wins. They're like, oh, no. He comes back next week. He's like, I bet you the white dog will win. And they're like, well, I know that black dog. He's tough. I'm going to bet on the black dog. And then the white dog wins. And he keeps doing this. And then finally, he gets old, so he sells them. And the guy's like, okay, but you got to tell me the secret. How do you get the black dog to win and the white dog to win? He's like, oh, that's easy. The one I feed that week wins. You know? So, like, you know, like, we need to be feeding on the word. We need the yeast of the kingdom of God to grow in us. And that's how we'll grow as a body, as a church. And, And actually, when we do that, we don't even have to watch. It'll grow anyway, right? When we're feeding, sometimes we're like, I don't see any growth. It's like watching paint dry, right? It's not dry. It looks dry, but it's not. Or watching grass grow. I don't see it growing or whatever. Or you plant a seed. You go out there, nothing. Then you kind of forget about it. 2 weeks later, you're like, whoa, look how big that got. And the yeast is like the two. We don't have to watch it. We just have to put yeast in our church, like godly yeast, the word of God, be led by the Spirit. And what other symbol might be yeast? Like using our gifts, encourage each other, serve each other, love each other. It says the body edifies itself in love. So that's like yeast. And we might not see it edifying itself, but it will. The yeast will grow. The yeast will grow. God says it will. This is Exodus 12:8. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. That's the suffering on the cross, the sinlessness of Christ, and the suffering. And it was made with flour beat very fine with no sin. It was beat. That's Christ. That's Christ's provision for us. And that's our unleavened bread, is Christ. It's Christ. It's not us. We're not the unleavened bread. We're sinners, saved by grace. He who says he's without sin is a liar. It's Christ. We need Christ. We need Christ in the church. We need Christ in the morning. We need Christ in the evening. We need Christ in the middle of the day. We need Christ when we wake up in the middle of the night. We need Christ. We need Christ when we think we're not falling because we're in pride, maybe. And we need Christ when we fall. We need Christ. He is our unleavened bread. And he's the leaven of the kingdom of heaven. He's without sin. Every message points to Christ. It's Christ. And if you look in the Bible, you might think, like just by sight, it could be confusing. But if you keep in mind that it all points to Christ, it like lightens up. He'll show you things. So we have a zeal for God, but we don't be ignorant with a misplaced zeal of our own righteousness. But we're aware of other teachings. We're aware of false doctrine. We're aware of that. And I think it's good to be aware. Like when you see something come against the value of the cross, the value of the blood, it's good to recognize it and be like, nope. It's Christ is enough. Christ is enough. And you don't add to it. Amen. I'll tell a little testimony. So I was going to work on the PowerPoint this morning. Sometimes PowerPoints can take a long time. But so, and then it was raining. And I went to bed early, but I couldn't sleep all night. And then in the morning, I was sleeping like a baby. And I woke up late, and I was like, oh, my goodness. And like I'm all like flustered and anxious, like trying to work on a message. And I'm like, ah. And then it was like, you know what? Like, this is God's message, right? Like, I can work fast, but I don't need to be anxious. And like, so you can work fast. You can have a deadline. You can have a timetable. You can have pressure, but you don't need to be anxious when walking with God, because he's got it. Amen.